Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello and welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast.
Hi.
I've got Ian and Rowan here today, and we're going to be diving into the biggest decisions business owners feel they'll face, which is, should I scale my business and how do I do it right? Because, yeah, I feel like people get confused about when the right time is or how they do it, whether they just employ people, what happens if there's not enough work. The options are endless about when people come to us and worry about where their business is heading. And it's a bit of future-proofing. So when we look at it, what do you reckon the biggest issues are? Because it could be quite simple to be like, I'm going to employ new employees and then I'm just going to grow and it's going to be all hunky-dory. What stops people from doing that?
I don't think anything really stops people from doing it, from my experience. They just sort of go and do it. Well, and then it gets out of control. And then they're like, oh, what have I done? Or people don't do it. And they're like, oh, I'm not sure exactly what you said. Oh, should I employ someone or how does that work? And they just get stuck at that point.
That's me.
Or they just grow and grow. Hey, mate.
Hey.
They just grow and grow and grow and grow. And then they're like, man, this is out of control.
It was so interesting. I was listening to a podcast earlier today and they were saying, like, if you have salespeople that produce really good results, why don't you go in and employ 100? What's the problem with that?
And makes sense,
like,
to me.
Well, makes sense. Yeah. But then you think about the operational side of trying to support the amount of work that's going to bring in, and that's where it just gets a bit sad. But in theory, employ as many people as you can in a successful business and you'll grow.
Well, in theory, correct. So if you've got something successful and it's making a dollar and going well and you can replicate it, then that's probably a good recipe for when to scale. And if you've got something that's successful but not going well, or not going well but successful, or makes a dollar and is hard to do, or it's just a little bit more complicated than that, it makes it very hard to scale because you're just scaling the whatever mess you have.
The effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At what point do you look at a business that's, let's say, a sole trader who is being successful, has got money coming in, and then at what point in the cash flow equation do you go, you need a salesman or you need to hire someone to do this so that you can concentrate on the business?
It's different for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's kind of my point.
Yeah.
As a sole trader who has a business partner for the last 7 years, and we've...
Is this a counselling session about that? No,
no, this is just this is our experience, and we've just maintained a certain level that keeps us comfortable.
Hmm.
Probably could look at scaling, wouldn't know where to start, and... Yeah, I'm very excited about this podcast.
Well, it's funny, like you have a consultant on hand to talk to. And anyway, Z, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that probably the foundation of all of this is you can scale, but don't scale your effort, scale the success. Like, you're replicating that success.
Yeah,
and if you're scaling and it creates more stress and it creates more burnout, you're not doing it right, or you're scaling the wrong thing.
Yeah. I think it's important to think of the business as an entity or a model. So that if that model is capable of being scaled without your, like you're saying, increased effort, that's a good indication you can scale. If it means if you scale that model and you have increased effort, there's only so many hours in the day.
Hmm.
So you're going to have a natural bottleneck. So the fundamental is there to, in your model, keep taking out the bottlenecks until it's reasonably seamless. But it's a lot more complex than that, and sometimes people lack the context perspective to do that. Yeah, it's an interesting one, but at what point do you do it? Once you're finding, hey, this is working really well, we can replicate this with other people's effort or with a machine or with a process or whatever that is, we can replicate it. People are happy to buy it, makes a bit of money, and that model looks good. That's a great time to scale it. And go back to, do we need a salesperson? Well, if that's going to help scale it and all that other stuff makes sense, probably a good time. If all that other stuff doesn't make sense and they're just selling stuff for the work for you to do and you're already busy, well, there's no point. If we're only employing a salesperson because we can't do it and we're hoping they will, probably not great because we're not telling them what to sell, how to sell or anything like that. We're hoping they'll sell stuff for us, which generally doesn't work too well.
Everyone always says, like, start small and then build on that. What happens for the small business owner that did start, they're the the single person, and then they employed two technicians, and then they employed a salesperson, and then before they know it, they have 10 employees and they're like, this is unmanageable, but also my goal is for the business to grow. I mean, 10 years ago when they were just the sole trader, what they're at now is what they dreamed of being, but it's just not done well.
They're probably at that point where they say, what do I do now? They're all being told or thinking, oh, now I need an operations manager. I need someone to run the business for it because it's out of control. And then they employ someone, then it's worse.
Yeah.
It's the 90% of the time.
Yeah, or in retail where they wanted to grow, so they bought more stock and then they employed a couple of floor staff, and then just the stock is too much and that's where all their money is. And
sound pretty negative right now.
I know, it's so sad.
But that is a lot of businesses, and then you've got the ones that do push through and follow through, and it might just be that they get the right employee that fills a gap and helps them take that to the next level. There's a bit of luck. Maybe they've had good advice, or they've had a really good plan, a good business model, and they've driven through. But it's kind of like winning the lotto. You know, we all hope to win the lotto and everyone's buying a ticket, but only some people win it. And so when you see a success story, oh, they did it. You don't know how lucky they were along the way, and you don't know how many people didn't do it that tried. It's never easy to scale, that's for sure. But it's going back to having a really good model and, you know, sticking to the basics, being patient. Scaling doesn't sound patient. It's like, let's have a crack. When I hear scaling, I'm like, yeah, let's go, you know, send it. But it is probably more being patient than doing that, because you've got to make sure you've got this right and this right and this training down pat. And then once you do that, you can press go. But you've got to really be pretty disciplined about doing the right things and sticking to that.
Yeah. So if we have, let's just say it is the sole trader and they want to grow, what's that signal or that sign that it is time or possible?
Yeah, I think if you're pretty busy, you're making a good dollar, customers are happy, and you think someone else can do what you do, perfect.
Got the funds to support it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I often think, say to people, it's not so much whether you think that will pay for itself or et cetera, et cetera. It's probably more being at peace at the worst with what the worst thing that can happen will be. So if you can take that stress out of the equation, it makes life each day easier, so you're not on such a roller coaster. But for example, you're a sole trader, some person working for themselves, by themselves. If they go, well, I put another person on, I'm earning $60,000 less myself if they don't do anything. And they drive me out the wall because I don't like them. That's the worst thing that can happen. Okay, but if that happens, I can do this. So I'm not going to lose $60,000 because I'll sack them after 3 months. If they drive me out the wall, I'll find someone else after a month. So you can sort of, okay, well, that's not going to happen. That's probably not the worst thing that's going to happen. The worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to lose 3 months' wages, $15,000, and I can try again. Okay, are you happy to invest $15,000 to potentially achieve the goal that you want to achieve? And that's a much easier decision than worrying about, oh, what it'll be like in 2 years? What about this? What about this? I find that pretty good way to do it.
One bite at a time then.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I would have a good hard look at what does work. So, for example, you know that the software that you have works, and you're on the basic, what's the word, subscription.
It's like job management.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Yep.
Job management.
For the business owner.
Yep. You know it works, and you know that you've got one other person, and you know that they're reliable, and so you sort of give them more responsibility, which takes stuff off your plate, and then you upgrade that subscription, which might seem like a really small thing, but it means that you're giving them investment in their job or responsibility within their job. And then, and that means that you can then take a step back and look at the bigger picture of the business. I think I see it so often when the business owner is the one who takes on more work as the business grows, and then all of a sudden they're the marketer and the salesperson, and then they're looking at business development, and it just snowballs. So I would set up the foundations first of, can I trust the people that I work with to lead?
Do that job.
And then you can sort of grow with their help as well.
Now, it's an interesting perspective to look at it from, and it reminds me of a conversation I had with someone. It's very similar example, actually. They had one employee, but they're talking about putting on an apprentice. When does it make sense to do that? And again, we just discussed all of that. And I was sort of like, well, is there something for them to do? oh, they could do this, this, and this. Is that going to create more work for you to teach them or monitor them or et cetera, et cetera? It says, yeah, probably would, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, oh, yeah, but at the end of the day, like, I could do some more work and I could do get the money and then it'll sort of cover the costs even if they cost me something. And I was like, hang on, if you're going to get an employee, are you going to have to carry them or are they going to help you? So, and again, someone was talking about bringing a business partner in, completely different sort of business. They're going really well. And they're looking to get a business partner in to help with the management of the business that they didn't really understand. And this person had some runs on the board in a different industry and whatever. And like, oh, yeah, they want this and they want this guarantee and they want this guarantee and all these sort of financial metrics. I'm like, hang on, if they're coming in, they're saying they're going to look after the business side for you and they want to be a partner and all this sort of stuff. Like, well, you're carrying them. And, oh, yeah, yeah, but they're not going to have these problems solved because they're going to do it. Well, no, it's assuming he's going to solve the problem. But if you can't commit to, oh, I'm going to make that stack up for myself, he wants you to make a stack up for him. It sounds like he'll probably get you to solve the problems too. And you're talking about working harder or doing some more work or giving them work so that they can hit their target, so they can guarantee. And I was like, well, if you're going back to what you're talking about, yeah, let's look at it. Are they going to solve problems for you? Are they going to actually make your life better so you can do other work? Or are you going to have to then go into marketing? You're going to go on the tools. You're going to have to be sales and all these things just to be able to pay their wage or fix the problems they create.
I always have to check myself when I'm answering some of those questions and I hear myself say, yeah, yeah, but... It's like, hang on a second. That's probably not a good idea. It's you find you make excuses for the decision that you've already made.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 100%. Maybe even going on that topic, but a different topic. Someone looking to buy a business recently and it stacked up with what was provided. And then more information as we dived in, we made it stack up less and less and less to the point where it was actually going to cost some money to have the business. And it's like, oh, yeah, but we could do this and this and I wouldn't have that much wage because I'd be doing the work. And it's like, no, hang on. Now we're talking about having a terrible job and paying them for it. Yep. It's all your bonus, not theirs. So go to, okay, well, if we're going to choose to employ someone, what are they doing? How's it improving the business? Being okay with the worst thing that can happen. But they need a role. So let's maybe think of what point can you, if you don't have anyone, can you get someone? You need either a product or a service that can be replicated. You know how to train them on it. It can be delivered by someone other than yourself. So I had a sleep test once for sleep apnea. Didn't have it. Thank you. I'm okay. But the lady who I went in to see for my $300 to put the equipment on me and do the tests and stuff, she'd been there 1 week and she followed a folder with however many steps. And I was her test dummy pretty much. And she got it done, and that was it. And that's a national company with sites throughout the country that's delivering a pretty useful service for people.
With a manual.
Most small business owners are like, oh, you couldn't do that. You definitely couldn't do it. That's how all the big companies are doing it. But the thing is, we might in business, being smaller, go, here's our service. It's really niche. It's very high touch because we can deliver that, whereas other people, our competitors can't. But then that's really hard to scale, isn't it? So you actually got to go, well, what's high value that we can do that other people can do for me without my need for extra effort?
And we also got to take that ego out of it, don't we? Because there's a lot of the times I look at what I do and I think, oh, I'm pretty good at it. But there's plenty of other people who are good at it as well.
Yeah, mate, I tell you that every day.
Yeah.
No, you are pretty good.
Yeah. There's plenty of people out there who can do what you do. Yeah, there's billions of people.
Yeah. So when we're looking at a business model, it needs to be something that's be able to be repeated by other people and not with the buts. Oh, but if they were if they knew what they were doing or if they were smart, oh, there's no smart, but there's no good people out there.
Well, yeah.
No, maybe your service is too complicated for a business or maybe it's just you need to do it. So I think that first point when you get someone else in, can they do something effectively, be shown and deliver that? And then, like you said, so it's one thing off the plate that then you can go do the next step in the business.
Yeah.
I always look at your franchises when it comes to that sort of thing. And KFC is a good example because it's got secret herbs and spices. Mm-hmm. It's a niche. There's only one person who knows it. When it first started, there was only one person who knew how to make this chicken. And now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So if they can do it, you can do it, is my message, I suppose.
Yeah, correct.
I just want to jump back to the sort of signs you're ready, because there is sort of a checklist, essentially, because you can't...
Now I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, you like can't...
Oh, yeah. Let's see what we got.
You can't scale if you're not profitable. Well, yes. I mean, you can.
You can, but
it's going to be
Profitable in business value or cash flow. You know, some people scale and don't make profit, but the business value is going up. So, yes, that would still effectively be profitable in the way you mean it.
You've got the clear processes. Mm-hmm. So that's the KFC example. You've got a strong team foundation, which is the employee situation that you've got going on there.
Find someone.
Customer retention is pretty high. You'd have some sort of ability.
So say a bit of translation there. So if you're doing work for people and then they never want to come back,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't duplicate that. You probably should fix the service. But once customers are happy, then it's duplicated.
Yeah, Apple. They're lining up 2 days in advance to buy a new phone that they could get for half the price if they wait a week.
Yes, that makes sense. And that you know that your product and service is actually wanted. I would argue that that's probably the checklist of whether you need to or you can.
Yep. And probably just you have the resource to do so.
Yeah.
So the resource could be space in the office. It could be money. It could be finding the right person. But, yeah, you can adequately bankroll it.
And if supply is X, then demand needs to be X plus 2. A little bit more demand than you can supply.
They're not looking at each other. We don't do maths.
I'm talking to the two numbers guys. Oh, never mind. Always have more demand than supply.
So we already talked about the team side of it and how we can make that easier for you. We've also got things like automation, which sometimes is a dirty word to some business owners because it feels like it loses that human touch.
And such a good word to so many others.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Or it's dirty because it feels like you're replacing people's jobs, which in small business generally is
so good because you don't have to deal with people.
But historically, whenever they've talked about people replacing jobs, you look at Henry Ford with his production lines and then robots. People had to service the robots. People had to learn how to program the robots. People had to learn how to do different skills. Mm. So you're not so much replacing a job as creating new jobs.
Yep. Yep. So you need to make automation your friend, I think.
Yep.
So using that job management software, not using just Excel.
I suppose it's not necessarily the word automation. I suppose most things can be automated now, but we're talking systems and processes loosely translated to everyone understands. So,
having the manual for the CPAP machine specialist.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're going to sell more websites, as an example, in your case, well, how can someone do a website exactly the same as I can do it, or with the parameters to be a good result like I do it?
And you could very easily write down a simple to follow.
Yep.
Here's the process.
Yep. And then you have a little process that you're reviewing certain things to make sure certain boxes are ticked, you know. So we've got the right headings, and they're the headings that are going to result in the most traffic, and a few bits and pieces like that.
Here's an SEO checklist,
So that they're doing the website, they talk to the client has a relationship with them, so they need a bit of a bond, they're going to learn, but technically at the end it's getting checked and it's going to be suitable as well. Fundamentally, that can be replicated, and there's through countless businesses.
Yeah.
Whereas we might think without that, or they're not quite going to do it as well as us. But it's not true. It's never the case.
Yeah, I think if you're thinking that this person can't, or there isn't anybody out there who can do it as well as I can, you probably need to check yourself. Have a look in the mirror and go, do I want someone to be able to do it as well as I can? This is why I think I can't find anyone. Because if there's somebody else out there who can do what I can, now there's a threat. Whereas actually, employ that person.
So it's one of the biggest barriers to scaling from what I've noticed in small businesses. People want it to revolve around them. For the ego or the fear of someone stealing it. So if you do want to scale, you've actually got to go, well, I want everyone involved in this to outgrow it, because then that's following the business. There's more positions in the business, you know, or they're learning and they've gone further in the business, they go elsewhere. But that model needs to have people coming through it and learning and opportunities.
What's the saying? It's train people enough that they can leave, but have a good enough culture that they don't want to.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Lovely, mate.
Oh, I'm full of all the hearts and feels today.
Yeah, or it's frustrating when you train them and they leave. What happens if you don't train them and they stay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole lot worse. You know?
Yours is more cynical than mine.
people talk about employees and employment and downsides, usually from a negative experience. Like humans, we like to go complain first.
Well, negatively biased.
So scaling, what are the steps to scale? We need to find a model that makes sense that we can replicate, that's profitable, and we have resource for. So we have the ability to find clients, we have the ability to find people, we have the ability to find equipment or supplies or whatever that is we need to do. And then we need to be able to turn that into a documentation, a training in a way so that it can be repeated and repeated as it scales. That's the fundamentals to do it.
Doing it quickly and just employing someone, deciding one night I'm going to scale because that's my goal and I'm going to make that choice and tomorrow I'm going to employ someone.
And hoping they'll deliver it, that's pretty risky. You might get the right person, but most of the time it doesn't work out and you blame them and it's like, well, no, the model's got to be solid and they've got to come into that.
Yeah. Generally in life, if you're hoping for some success in something, you probably haven't got your systems in place and you haven't really thought it through. Hope's a dangerous word.
What would happen?
That's super negative.
Yeah, I know.
Don't take my hope away, mate.
Well, I had that really high hopeful point of love and everything, so I thought I'd bring it back to cynicism.
I was going to add, have courage.
Have the hope, have the courage.
And grow, because that's your goal.
Yeah.
So having a plan is better than hope, is my point.
For a lot of people that might be listening going, well, you know, I've tried to scale, it's taken me 4 or 5 years. This sounds like it should be pretty quick. But it's different when you've got a job in the business as well. You've got limited time, so you're doing something. You don't necessarily know how to solve the particular things. So it can take time. You do bit by bit. But the thing is trying to put parts of that business in little boxes, train, system, can it be repeated? Can we ensure quality? We can. All right, let's put someone in that box or something in that box and then go from there. And the way people can do it faster is generally they just have more money resource or people resource before they start. And they might get 8 people together from sales and marketing and delivery and underwriting and all that sort of stuff. And I think Jack Daly has a few different books, but he talks about the finance company they set up. I think it's a finance company they set up in the US. There you go. By the end of it, he had 2,000 odd salespeople there. But there was 8 of them and they sat down for 2 weeks and wrote up all the scripts and all the processes and the calls and all the forms and all of this for before and after. And then they set up the system, the CRM, and then they got the people in and trained them. They did this all before they started. So there's a ton of upfront resource and cost going into that. But then it's started and everyone's ready to go.
Snowball.
Yeah. So most people in small business don't or can't do that because you need to make money to get more resource at the same time. So don't feel bad if you're taking you a while. It's just different.
I think even in the process of getting ready to scale, you're making your business better because you are setting the foundations for a successful business. Yeah. You're
learning and testing.
Yeah. And let's just say you do create that template of a phone call, for example, you're only going to end up, hopefully, with better customer retention. So it means that your model that you're creating now only gets better and better.
Yeah.
And then as you scale, it becomes threefold.
Yeah.
To look at resources as well. I was listening to a fella, acquire.com, I think he's the CEO of them, and basically he finds small businesses, sole traders, small to mediums, and helps them scale and invests as a equity partner.
Yeah.
But he's made millions upon millions of businesses around the world get from 0 to 1 million, 1 million to 10 million, 10 million to 100 million, 100 million to a billion. And these people are out there who think different to me. They just have this ability to look at something and go, yeah, you could scale that if you did this and this. How much is that worth to you? How much is that advice worth to you? That's what I see a lot. Hang on, I'm going to pump your tires up again.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, keep going. That's what I see a lot with the modelling days that you guys do. You take a small to medium or a sole trader and you crunch the numbers and you go, right, well, maybe you need to have someone doing this instead of you doing it. So now you've got an employee and now you've got to sell the products and now you need a salesman. Before you know it, you've got 10 employees and you've gone from making $100,000 a year to $1 million a year. Use the skills that are out there that you don't have, and there's plenty of people.
The last thing I'd like to add on scaling, like it is a complex thing, so just keep in mind this is a short podcast, but I think we're nailing the fundamentals here, is that you don't have to overcomplicate things. You don't have to have 10 products or 10 services. You can just have one really good service that you do well. And maybe that's sleep apnea test. That's just the one thing they're doing from every single town. And
300 bucks a pop.
yeah, let's just do that one service, nail that, and then just go to a different town and do the same thing. You know, we probably try to go, oh, we can do that, and we can do that, and oh, this client can do that, oh, we can do that too. And just hard to replicate that. So sometimes we just need to be boring and patient. And I love being been a bit more interesting, but like in business sometimes it's just a bit of patience, it's a bit of boredom, it's just about doing the same thing again and again. And then if you look at a lot of the companies that are in all the different towns, they're just doing one thing.
And they're building that muscle, then they're flexing that muscle.
Oh, there you go. It's all about the bob. So yeah, don't be afraid to keep it simple. And you know, you don't have to be the biggest, you don't have to be the best, you don't have to be other things. You just need a good model in the niche and be able to replicate it really well, and people will be happy to pay for it. People will be happy to work there. So if you can keep it simple, then it's a really good sign to scale it.
In the process of doing it, I can imagine it gets kind of humbling when you kind of big picture, you look at your business and you go, there's no chance. If I add 10 more people, it's going to, I'm going to be so exhausted.
Yeah, I'm going to be, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be hard.
But it's good. If you are thinking that, then it's good to look at it and change it. What do you need to do differently?
Yeah. Like, and if your goal is to scale or be, I want 10 of this business in 10 different locations, and your first step is, no, this isn't going to work, well, at least you know your goal is 10.
Yeah.
Start in one.
Have a devil's advocate as well. Find someone who's going to go, no, that's not going to work, 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 and then work through it.
That's the resource. If you don't know, have the knowledge, resource, get someone that does.
Find a mother-in-law.
The mistakes would be scaling too soon, not having...
Under-resourced.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not having the operational foundation.
Yep. Under-resourced.
Under-resourced again. And leadership readiness.
Under-resourced.
So why don't you just say under-resourced, Lee?
I have these giant boxes in my head with many things under them just to make it easy for me.
Ah, yes. No, that's fair. So
100% underprepared, underfunded, no people, no clients, whatever. It's all under resourced, just not organised.
No systems.
Don't have under resourced. Yeah, no value. Doesn't matter. Not resourced. Resourced value.
You might get lucky, and scaling will happen. There's a chance that
lightning
works.
Strikes. People win the Powerball as well.
And then going back to what I meant before about being okay with the worst that can happen, that's how you tick that under resourced box and all those different categories. This is the worst that can happen. Can I deal with that if that happens? Am I okay with that? Okay, if I am okay with that, you're probably resourced enough. Good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see people get their goals. I just want to see them do it in a healthy, like, a way that doesn't stress them out. So, yeah, if you are scaling, make sure that you set that foundation first.
And keep it simple.
It's that easy.
It's advice as old as time. Keep it simple, stupid.
All right. On that note, we'll wrap it up here. Wish you all the very best, and we'll see you next time.
So long.